Good morning, everybody. Welcome to morning prayer. Different face up here this morning. Pastor Sam's been going through the book of John. I want to take a break from that for today. I'm sure he'll revisit that tomorrow. Can we turn our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 35? Isaiah 35. Isaiah is located right after Psalms. Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35. And before we read that, I just want to give you the background of when this is written, and then we'll read it as an answer to what's happening here. Isaiah is a prophet, and he's serving the Lord at a very difficult time. And the people of Israel have turned their backs against God, and now they're facing punishment because of their sins. You know the history of Israel. God tells them to do something, they disobey, they get punished, they repent. God tells them to do something, they disobey, they get punished, they repent. So here's a period in Israel's history where they are going to be punished for their sins. Their nation, therefore, is now attacked, is being attacked by a brutal Assyrian army. And the people are terrified about their future. They're very concerned. And in the midst of this kind of circumstances, knowing that they're going to be punished, they're being attacked, they're being overwhelmed, they have no idea what their future holds. Here is Isaiah, and he stands before Israel as a prophet of hope. And so now I want to read Isaiah 35. The wilderness and the desert will be glad, and the Arabah will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It will blossom profusely and rejoice with rejoicing and shout of joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Encourage the exhausted and strengthen the feeble. Say to those with anxious heart, take courage, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. The recompense of God will come, but he will save you. The eyes of the blind will be opened. The ears of the deaf will be unstopped, and the lame will leap like a deer. And the tongue of the mute will shout for joy, for waters will break forth in the wilderness and streams in the Arabah. The scorched land will become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water, and the haunt of jackals its resting place. Grass becomes reeds and rushes. A highway will be there, a roadway. It will be called the highway of holiness. The unclean will not travel on it, but it will be for him who walks that way, and fools will not wander on it. No lion will be there, nor will any vicious beast go up on it. These will not be found there, but the redeemed will walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord will return and come with joyful shouting to Zion. With everlasting joy upon their heads, they will find gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. And so here we have Israel in the midst of all of this turmoil and all of this uncertainty. And here Isaiah stands before them and he says, in verse 1, the desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. Now, I'm sure all of us know what a crocus is. I didn't either, so I had to look that up in order for it to make sense. But a crocus is a purple flower in the Middle East. And so basically what Isaiah is trying to say is that in the midst of this desert, he gives an image of this purple flower that the Israelites know, that it will blossom and rejoice like the crocus, a beautiful flower. I don't know, you know, I'm new to Hong Kong, but I don't know if there's an area where there is just flowers blooming everywhere. In San Diego, near Carlsbad, there's this flower fields, and it is acres, hundreds and hundreds of acres of flowers upon flowers upon flowers. In fact, when you visit there, it is quite overwhelming. I mean, it's flowers, you know, to the point where you can't even see the end of flowers. It's hundreds and hundreds of acres of flowers. And when you stand there in awe of this sight, the first thing that you think is there's life happening in this place because there's so many flowers blooming. I mean, the different types and all the different colors, it's a rainbow of flowers. And you just see and you just feel that this area is alive with life, even though it's flowers. And so Isaiah is using this example of this flower that in your wilderness, in the desert, there will be rejoicing and blossoming like the purple flower. It will burst into bloom It is alive, and you will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. I don't know if you've ever screamed or shouted for joy. In other words, that there was something that you were so happy about that you screamed and shouted. You know, I'm sure if you won a lottery, you know, you'd scream for joy. Or maybe you got into the school that you've prayed for, or you got the job that you wanted for. I remember my dream school was UCLA, and there are a lot of different reasons why I wanted to go there. I wanted to go there to find my wife and things, you know, because I lived in the Midwest of the United States, and I was the one of only three Asians in my school, and the other two were actually adopted. And so I was the only one with that understood my Asian heritage. And so as I was growing up, I wanted to find a place where I could, you know, there's a bigger pool of you know, Asian American women. And so I was like, Los Angeles, that's where I've got to be. And so I remember struggling, and some know sort of my story, that my third quarter GPA, I had a 4.0, which is straight A's, and then my third quarter I was struggling. My senior year was the worst year of my life, and it dropped from a 4.0 to 1.7. And I had gotten into UCLA, and then now because of my third quarter grade, there's huge fear, because they make it clear that you have to submit your, you know, final grades, and it has to be over a 3.0 or whatever. And here I was at a 1.7. Now I was like, my, you know, God answered my prayers and my dream school, and now it's going to be rescinded. But I remember every day coming home trying to find those acceptance letters from college. And once the big envelope from UCLA came, my dad actually got the mail before me, and he said, "This, you know, a letter came from UCLA." We opened it up. We screamed. We shouted for joy. We hugged each other. We, you know, we rarely have ever done that in my life. You know, we hugged each other. We jumped. And I don't know. I let out a shriek. It was just natural. I didn't think about, let's see, I got good news, and so let me see, what should I do? No, it was just natural. I shrieked, I shouted, I screamed, I let out a grunt. You know, it's just a natural thing when you're filled with joy, whether it be a woohoo or, you know, it's just a shout of joy. And what Isaiah is trying to say is that, look, even though you see wilderness, even though you see desert, even though it's totally dry, I want you to see the future. I want you to see the potential. I want you to see this beautiful purple crocus flower bursting into bloom, and you will shout for joy. I know it's impossible to see right now. I know you're being attacked by the Assyrians. I know that your future is in doubt. I know that there's a lot of confusion, but look, this is the earth that I see, says the Lord, that you will burst into bloom and you will rejoice greatly. Verse 2, and the glory of Lebanon will be given to it. Now, for us, that really doesn't have any meaning or any power behind that. But when Isaiah is saying that the glory of Lebanon will be given to it, basically what he's saying is that, look, your desert, dry, ghetto land, ghetto-ness, is going to turn into something glorious like Lebanon, whether it be Lebanon. I asked Pastor Nate this morning, you know, is there an area in Hong Kong or on Kowloon side where you can really, it's kind of like the Beverly Hills of Hong Kong? He's like, Central. Well, Lebanon and Central is not really going to make a good comparison, but this is a glorious, stupendous mansion, an area, a country that is greater, majestic, the richest of the rich, the highest of the high, the elitist of the elite, that this desert and dry land is going to be like Lebanon. And there's three areas in Israel, in the Middle East, that is just the most luxurious area of this nation. And it's Lebanon, Carmel, and Sharon. And so when he says that the glory of Lebanon would be given to it, and the majesty of Carmel and Sharon, they will see the glory of the Lord and the splendor of our God. Splendor meaning gorgeous, brilliant, spectacular, magnificent. See, because Lebanon had incredible trees. These cedars of Lebanon, which you'll see in other parts of Scripture, for instance, can grow to a height of 120 feet and 30 to 40 feet in diameter. They're incredibly huge. They're strong. They're mighty. And so you've got to realize that Israel, likes to use a lot of imagery and symbolism. And when he says that you're going to be like the cedars of Lebanon, when you're going to be like Lebanon, they picture these strong, majestic, glorious, even intimidating trees. And he's saying, in the desert, in the wilderness, you're going to be restored to something like Lebanon. And automatically they picture in their mind, wow, Lebanon is strong and mighty and thick, as symbolized by these trees and these forests. You know, it's a material that they would use for luxurious things. You could use either plastic, you know, not plastic back then, but you can use like paper, really thin stuff, or you can use strong cedars that come from Lebanon. And Israel would know that that's a powerful thing. And so the earth that Isaiah sees, or the Israel that Isaiah sees, is full of joy because it's been restored to perfection. It will now become a land of hope and glory. It's a place where all your hopes and dreams and the paradise that you once imagined for your life is restored and regained. These are the most beautiful places of Israel, and Isaiah is saying their beauty will return to you. And in verse 3, he says, encourage the exhausted, strengthen the feeble. He says, verse 4, say to those with anxious hearts. Is there anybody with an anxious heart here this morning? He says, take courage, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. The recompense of God will come, and he will save you. Your God will come, and he will come and save you. What does that mean, he will come and save you? What is God meaning when he says he's going to come and save you? Well, we'll talk about that a little bit. Verse 5, the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. And the lame will leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute will shout for joy. For waters will break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the Arabah. I want you to look at this imagery. I mean, this chapter in Isaiah is filled with imagery that most of us probably don't understand unless we get the context. But I want you to understand what Isaiah is saying. He's saying, look, God is going to come and save you. And what's going to happen is that the eyes of the blind is going to be open. The deaf is going to hear. The lame will leap like a deer. I mean, picture all of this going on when God comes to save. I want you to picture, I don't know if you've ever seen deer, you know, leaping and things like that live, like in real life in front of you in Wisconsin. We had deer always in our backyard. We had turtles. We had lots of animals. You know, I did live, you know, on a, you know, near to a farm. And so we've had rabbits and all sorts of squirrels, animals right in our backyard. And it would be most fascinating because in the winter, in the snow, you'd have a family of deer. You'd have the mom, the dad, and maybe two little kids walking together, prancing together. And so as a little kid, I would love to try to scare them. And so I would go outside and try to scare them. And so they're very instinctively very quick, and they would leap very quickly. They're very fast. And as they leap, I was tempted to give you a demonstration this morning, but it's too early in the morning. But these deers are leaping, and they're quick and fast. I want you to imagine someone who has been crippled his entire life, her entire life, leaping as these deer, how majestic and how quick and fast and swift that this person, I mean, this image in my mind is just ridiculous, and it's just crazy. Can you imagine the mayhem and the chaos that happens when the cripple begin to leap like a deer, and eyes of the blind begin to open, and they begin to shout for joy and scream for joy, and the ears of the deaf hearing music for the very first time. All of this happening when God comes and save. I mean, this image is just crazy. And verse 7, the scorched land will become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals, its resting place. Grass becomes reeds and rushes. In verse 7, the scorched land. Some translations say burning sand. Burning sand will become a pool. NIV translators took it as meaning hot or glowing. But in fact, some other translators say take that word scorched as glowing, meaning glowing in the desert. And so depending on your translation, but what they're trying to say is that word scorched, glowing, hot, burning land is sort of this image of an oasis, like as in saying that the sand is glowing or scorched in appearance and saying, look up ahead. That could be water up ahead. But then when you arrive, you find that it's nothing. It's just a mirage. And in that same way, there's lots of different mirages in our lives. There's a lot of things that look like, hey, that could be water, that look like that could get us out of our desert, that looks like that could give us life. But in reality, it's not. Whether it be entertainment, whether it be alcohol, drugs, whatever it be. Because, look, we can try to find peace, we can try to find love, we can try to find happiness in all our different circumstances. We can try to escape our problems through alcohol and drugs, but what inevitably happens the next day is that we wake up and we are filled with more regret than we've ever had before. And we still find ourselves in that same desert that we're trying to escape. Not only that, we are now become even more thirstier than we've ever been before. The last time I was here in February, I spoke a little bit about the desert. And one thing that I remember that I wish I had told us, and now I was like, man, God, if you give me an opportunity, I'm going to share this. But the word desert in Hebrew is midbal. And the translation of that to the Hebrews is God speaks. And so the word for desert in Hebrew is God speaks. And I told the story how we were in the desert and we got to do some desert tracking and we just walked in the desert for 3 days straight, and it was like a Mr. Miyagi Karate Kid moment, wax on, wax off, wax on, wax off, you know. And he's like, no, I want to learn karate. You know, I'm sure Pastor Sam's given a lot of Karate Kid examples. I know him, even though I may not have heard it. And, you know, paint the fence, paint the fence, paint the fence, you know. And it's like, I want to learn karate. This is Daniel's son, paint the fence. Wax the car, sand the floor, and all these things. And I'm walking through the desert trying to figure out, what am I going to learn out of this? It was like the biggest waste of time. You know, I paid thousands of dollars to come to Israel, and here we are walking in the desert for 3 days. What is going on here? You know, and it was probably a total Karate Kid moment. I'm waxing the car, I'm painting the fence, thinking this is the biggest waste of time. Finally, in the middle of those days, we sit down in the hot desert. And we open our Bibles, and our tour leader says the word midbal in Hebrew is translated God speaks. Because whenever the Israelites were in the desert, that's where God spoke. And what he's saying is that when you're in the desert and wilderness, the future that God has for you, Israel, is not the sand that you see, not this dryness that you're experiencing now, but there's a God who's going to come and save you. And that you will be restored as a crocus, beautiful flower. You will be restored to the glory of Lebanon, these incredible trees, thick trees that is intimidating and powerful and majestic and glorious. And when God comes, he says that the blind will see, the deaf will hear, and the lame will leap like deers. Does that sound like something we've heard before? Didn't Jesus say in Matthew when he came to this earth that I've come to open blind eyes, to heal the deaf, to make the lame walk? And so what Isaiah is saying, he's pointing to the Messiah. This is one of those passages where he's proclaiming the Messiah before the Messiah comes. He's saying when the Messiah comes, the deaf will hear, the blind will see, and the lame will walk, will leap like deers. And this is the good news. Matthew 11 says, the blind receive sight, the lame walk, and those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. God has done the same for us. Because let's face it, sometimes our lives can seem like a desert wasteland. Sometimes it feels empty and barren. And we've been trying so hard to find water and to find survival. Many of us are trying to just survive, make it to the next day, make it to the next paycheck, make it to the next place. Sometimes our health goes up and down. It rises and falls like the temperature, and we lose our job. Money is hard to find. Water is scarce. Maybe it's boredom. Maybe it's depression. Maybe we feel like we're collapsing under the strain of stress. Maybe you've come to EMP this morning and you have a business meeting today and you're just like, God, I need your help. Maybe today, even before it has even started, is a difficult day for you. But the good news is that your souls can be refreshed. as you hear the words of Isaiah, that in the wilderness, let the desert and wilderness be glad. Let you rejoice and blossom like the crocus flower. You will blossom profusely. I love it. Blossom profusely. The only word associated to me with profusely is sweating, which is what I do often. And I understand that. I understand what sweating profusely means. It's saying you will blossom profusely. I can't even comprehend. If I will flourish and blossom as much as I sweat, oh my gosh, that's incredible. Praise God. But that is the word of the Lord. In your wilderness, in your desert, your God will come and save. Your God will come and save. Jesus is here for you. If you would receive him today, I know many of us are believers here, but each and every day, I pray, God, I need you. God, I need you today. He is here to come and save. He is your hope. And may you be filled with joy. And may you blossom. May you bloom. And may you flourish this morning. Let's pray together. Lord, you know the future for us. Lord, we have no idea what the future holds. But we know that you hold the future in your hands. And Father, we just ask that you would inspire us, encourage us, lift us up today. Father, many of us have been coming to EMP for a very long time in a dry and weary land where there is no water. But God, I pray that you would refresh our souls, that we would hold on to your word. For your word is true. And your word is strong. And I proclaim this morning as I prophesy to your people that the wilderness and the desert will be glad. It will blossom profusely and rejoice with shouts of joy. God, would you just restore us like the majesty and the glory of Lebanon. Father, we thank you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's continue our worship. Let's sing the song as Pastor Nate leads us, and let's just truly worship him this morning. before we go into intercession, I just want us to just pray and hold on to that word from Isaiah 35. May you go with that today as you go to work, wherever you go. I want you to just spend some time in response and saying, God, I hear your word, and Lord, I want to believe. We've been talking about faith, and Lord, and let your belief give you the hope that God wants to give to you. So let's respond to that word before we intercede. If we could now move in intercession, and let's pray for our mission focus. Today, we're praying for Cambodia and Pastor O, New Life Church, Pastor Tang, Center of Peace Orphanage, Grace Chung and Bloom. So let's lift up Cambodia and ask the Lord to continue a powerful work in that country. Let's pray. Pray for the Philippines, for Solomon's Clinic, and Elder Chang. Let's pray for the Philippines. Let's lift up the Philippines right now. Let's lift up Bhutan, as we know that Bhutan is a really dark and country, and so let's just ask the Lord to really break through in that country. Let's pray for the missionaries there and leaders in Bhutan and church leaders there. Let's pray. Let's move on to praying for our SP Ministries. Can we pray for our IP team and Matt as he leads for Cascade and The Well, for Leanne and Larry? Let's just lift up these ministries at SP this morning. Lift up SP 1.5. We've got only about 4 Sundays left here in this place, and there's a lot of work to do. So let's just lift up SP 1.5. Not only the construction, but that it would be a lighthouse to Central. That it would be a lighthouse to Hong Kong. Let's just lift up SP. That it would be a place where the presence of God is powerful, and let's pray for a spiritual haven in that place. So let's pray for 1.5 right now. Let's pray for our house churches today. God's doing really great things in our house churches, and so let's lift each house church today in prayer. Causeway Bay, Mac Daddy, Mac Robinson, Tregunter, and Waterfront. Let's just lift them up, and if you know the leaders' names, let's lift up the leaders also. Father, what a glorious day today is, not because of our circumstances, not because of what's happening in this world. It's a glorious day, not because of the disasters or tragedies that surround us, but it's a glorious day because you are God who has come and saved. Lord, that you will restore this desert and wasteland into incredible glory, God. And Father, we pray that you would just continue to fill us with hope. Lord, we just thank you for just giving us life. And Lord, we just pray that your life would give all of us life today. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a great day, you guys, and just want to give you an opportunity to continue to pray this morning.